Today's study will be study number 44 in our series that we've entitled God's Eternal Purpose. And today's date is 11/13/2016. And as I've said before each of these studies, that before each one, that our study purpose for this study is to form a list of coming events in Scripture with group participation so that we as members of His body can better understand God's eternal purpose and where we fit into it. I think it's very important that we not only understand what God's doing, but we understand where we fit in that, because down through the ages, God has dealt with different people at different times in different ways. And to be a good student of the Word and to understand exactly where we fit, I think we have to understand these things as best we can through the leadership and the revelation of the Spirit as we study. So we'll be continuing in our ongoing study this morning of Appendix, of Appendix 198 on page 218 in the Companion Bible Appendices. That's in the back of the Companion Bible, entitled The Eternal Purpose. I think it's a very good outline, at least for a backbone for study in these things. It's a good outline for study as we move along and try to understand for ourselves and as a group what God's eternal purpose for this age is. What's God's purpose in me being a believer? What's God's purpose in using the Holy Spirit to reveal anything of His Word to me? I would think that God wouldn't do that just superfluous, but that there would be a reason, a plan, a purpose in it all. And I think a lot of believers get disillusioned because they have the Scripture so jumbled up that they can't really determine within them what their plan and purpose is. What is their purpose in believing? So, we stopped last Sunday in our study of Appendix 198. We're still in Section G, the italicized G, coming about halfway down through that list, through that outline. And it's called the Second Advent. This item in the outline of Appendix 198 covers the return or the second coming or the parousia in the Greek of the Lord Christ Jesus back to the earth, which occurs after the manifestation of the body of Christ in the heavenly places. So I think if you're attempting to get the order of the events that we know that are coming, that this would be the order of events. First, the manifestation in the heavenlies of the church, the body of Christ, and then later on, the coming after some preemptive events that take place prior to that coming. The second coming is certainly one of the biggest events spoken of in the Old Testament, and many Old Testament prophecies speak of this event. So I believe ample time should be devoted to understanding this pivotal event in God's plan. This is one of the bigger events in the plan of God, just as the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth as a babe in a manger was important and epic-making. So will be the second coming, although there will be stark differences in the way He came the first time and the way He's coming the second time. And you will certainly see that as we read today a few of the additional prophecies that deal with this day. So, last Sunday we continued in our review of Matthew 24, verse 30, with the Old Testament references to the event the Lord is speaking of. We covered a few of the 20 references to the Lord's Day, namely Ezekiel 13, verses 1 through 5, and Joel 1:1 through Joel 2:28. And we stopped last week at Joel 2:28. Now, for today's study, and as we move forward in reviewing some of these Old Testament prophecies that deal with the Lord's Day, turn with me back to the book of Joel, chapter 2, and let's start at verse 29. And I would like to read all the way through the end of the book of Joel. Joel's entire book pretty much covers some of the events and circumstances and items that go along with the Lord's Day, and we certainly read some of those things. We even read down through verse 29, which Peter quotes over in Acts chapter 2, I believe it is. So pick up with me as I try to get my nose cleaned out here. Pick up with me back at verse 28. And let's see if I can keep enough voice long enough to read the end of Joel chapter 2 and all of chapter 3. It says in Joel 2:28, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out of my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke." And as you've noticed, there are a lot of these that have not yet happened. If you read the notes on this prophecy, both here and over in Acts chapter 2, I believe the notes in the Companion Bible will give you a little more insight into the order in which these things take place. It says, "The sun shall be turned into darkness," verse 31, "and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come." Now, many times when the Lord's Day is referenced, it's called the great and terrible day of the Lord. And we're in one of our references this morning, I've been constantly saying that those who pray for the coming, the second coming, and I hear those that don't understand so well about the arrangement of events to come, for those that say, "Well, I just wish the Lord to come back today. I wish he could just come on back today." They have no idea what they're talking about. They have no idea what they say. If they did, they would be a little more hesitant about asking for the events that go along with this day. Verse 32, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call." And then we'll pick up with Joel chapter 3 and keep moving through the end of the book of Joel, since Joel's complete prophecy deals with the Lord's Day. He says, "For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat." Now listen to this. "And will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. They have cast lots," verse 3, "for my people, and have given a boy for a harlot and sold a girl for wine, that they might drink." So you see the imagery that goes along with the scattering of the nation of Israel and how they fared among the heathen nations that the Lord's reminded them of. He says, "Yea, and what have you to do with me, O Tyre and Zidon, and all the coast of Palestine? Will you render me a recompense? And if you recompense me swiftly and speedily, will I return your recompense upon your own head? Because you have taken my silver and my gold, and have carried into your temples my goodly pleasant things." And we remember this happened all down through the captivity history of the nation of Israel. "The children also," verse 6, "of Judah and the children of Jerusalem have you sold unto the Grecians, that you might remove them from their border. Behold, I will raise them out of the place where you have sold them, and return your recompense upon your own head," he said. "And I will sell," verse 8, "your sons and your daughters into the hand of the children of Judah, and they shall sell them to the Sabians, to a people far off, for the Lord hath spoken it. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles." Now listen to this. Prepare war. "Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near and let them come up. For your plowshares," or "beat your plowshares into swords," verse 10, "and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves, and come all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened, verse 12, and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. See, when the Lord returns the second time, he's not coming as a babe in a manger. He's coming as the ultimate righteous judge with great and terrible things accompanying this day. And then there are references to verse 13, I believe, in the book of Revelation. Put ye in the sickle. He tells the angel in Revelation, go ahead and thrust that sickle into the earth. Begin to cut. Start the cutting. For the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes in the valley of decision. You see what he calls the valley of Jehoshaphat there. It's the valley of decision because the Lord will be the one making the decisions. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Then we hear this in Matthew 24, verse 15, Joel chapter 3. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth are what? They're going to shake. Great earthquakes, the Lord said. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So shall ye know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her any more. And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters, and a fountain shall come forth of the house of the Lord, and shall water the valley of Shittim. Egypt shall be a desolation, and Edom shall be a desolate wilderness. And we're going to get into Edom a little bit in the next couple that I read. For the violence against the children of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. But Judah shall dwell forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation. For I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for the Lord dwelleth in Zion. And that's Joel's prophecy concerning the Lord's day. Excuse me. Now, turn with me to Amos, right behind the book of Joel. You have the little tiny book of Amos. And it's not as small as the book of Obadiah, but yet nonetheless, it is still pretty small. So turn with me to Amos chapter 5. Amos chapter 5. I want to read verses 1 through 20 of Amos chapter 5. Now, I could give a big, long exegesis on the Lord's day and what's coming and what's going to happen and all these things. But I think the Scripture says it best. And the Scripture is pretty plain about the things. Some things are repeated over and over again. Some things are specific to certain prophecies. And I think it's interesting that the Lord has put it together in that fashion. So turn with me to Amos chapter 5, where the Lord says, hear ye this word which I take up against you, even a lamentation, O house of Israel. The virgin of Israel is fallen. She shall no more rise. She is forsaken upon her land. There is none to raise her up. For thus saith the Lord God, the city that went out by 1,000 shall leave 100. That which went forth by 100 shall leave 10 to the house of Israel. For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, ye shall live. That's what the Lord was always saying to Israel. Turn to me, and you will live. But seek not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal. Pass not to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught. Seek the Lord, he says again, and ye shall live. Lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and devour it, for there be none to quench it in Bethel. Ye who turn judgment to wormwood and leave off righteousness in the earth, seek him that maketh the seven stars and Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into the morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. Telling them to turn and seek God, seek the Lord, that strengtheneth the spoiled against the strong, so that the spoiled shall come against the fortress. They hate him, verse 10, that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. Forasmuch therefore as your treading is upon the poor, and ye take from him burdens of wheat, ye have built houses of hewn stone, but ye shall not dwell in them. Ye have planted pleasant vineyards, but ye shall not drink wine of them. He said, for I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. That was always Israel's problem. And they could, as Dad mentions, you know, they thought, the priests thought that they could hide their sins from God that they were doing right in the chambers of the holy temple itself. But the Lord, you know, he picked Ezekiel up, as Dad says, by the hair and showed him all these things. He said, you see what they're doing in my house? You see how sinful these people are? He says, for I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. They afflict the just and take a bribe. They take a bribe and they turn aside the poor in the gate from their right. Therefore, verse 13, the prudent shall keep silence in that time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that ye may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as ye have spoken. Hate the evil and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Therefore the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord saith thus, wailing shall be in all streets. They shall say in all the highways, alas, alas, and they shall call the husbandman to mourning. And such are the skillful of lamentation to wailing. And in all vineyards, verse 17, shall be wailing, for I will pass through thee, saith the Lord. Look at verse 18 very carefully. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? See, I wasn't making that up when I said those that won't see the day of the Lord don't know what they're talking about. Amos chapter 5, verse 18 backs up that statement. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? I didn't say it. God said it. The day of the Lord is darkness and not light, as if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him. he's comparing it to running from a lion and being caught by a bear. Like, you're not going to escape it. It's going to happen. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark and no brightness in it? See, the day of the Lord is the day of judgment, the terrible day of gloominess, the terrible day of decision, as the Lord has said. I will be the decider in the valley on that day. He will be the one doing the judging, and he will be the one taking the vengeance, for vengeance is his. Turn with me. I'm about to run out of voice. Turn with me, if you would, over to one more. Little book of Obadiah. It's a one-chapter prophecy. Only has 21 verses. So I want to read 1 through 17 of the book of Obadiah. Before I do, I want to read a little bit into the notes at the first of this book that's in the Companion Bible. Obadiah is not one of those books that we as a group study very often. I don't remember ever going to this book ever in my studies, but today we're going to. I want to read the introduction to the book of Obadiah. The minor prophets do not profess to be chronological, it says. The order seems to be logical. Hence, Obadiah corresponds with Joel, which is the reason that I felt we needed to read it today, and takes up Joel's theme and shows by contrast what Joel's Day of the Lord shall be for Israel's enemies. Now, we read a lot about what the Day of the Lord is going to be for Israel and a little bit about what's going to happen to the enemies. But Obadiah takes up what's going to happen from the enemy standpoint, what God's going to do for these enemies. It says, Edom is the one enemy in Joel, verse 3:19, as in Obadiah. Indeed, from the first, Genesis 22:38-40 was fulfilled. And it says, look at the notes on 1 Kings 22:47 and 2 Kings 8:20-22. And 2 Chronicles 21:8-10. Again, I'm reading the introduction to the book of Obadiah. After that, we find prophecies against Edom in Isaiah 34:3-17, Jeremiah 49:17-22, and Ezekiel 25:12-14, and in 35, and in the book of Obadiah. So, having said that, knowing what Obadiah is going to speak of, let's read verses 1 through 17, at least, of the book of Obadiah. Another mention of the Lord's Day here, and then we'll be done for the day. The vision of Obadiah, thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. Now, everybody remembers who the Edomites are back from the Old Testament. Don't have a lot of time to go into that today. But some of the references that we went through just now, if you go back and read that, make very clear who the Edomites are. We have, remember Joel mentioned them that we read in chapter 3, verse 19. He mentioned against that innocent blood had been spilled. He said, we have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as an eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. If thieves come to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If the grape gatherers came to thee, would they not leave some grapes? How are the things of Esau searched out? How are this hidden thing sought up? All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee, that they eat thy bread, have laid up a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom and understanding out of the mount of Esau? And thy mighty men, verse 9, O Timon, shall be dismayed to the end that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. Remember now, this is Obadiah writing to the enemies of Jacob. In the day, verse 11, that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gate, and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast one of them. But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother in the day that he became a stranger. Neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Uh-oh. Sounds like the judge ain't very happy with Edom at all. Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people, verse 13, in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their sustenance in the day of their calamity. Verse 14, neither shouldest thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. Neither shouldest thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. The Lord doesn't forget, does he? The Lord's memory is very long, and he don't forget. Verse 15. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. You see that? For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. There's the recompense. There's the vengeance that belongs to the Lord. He said, thy reward shall return upon thine own head. For as ye have drunk upon my holy mountain, excuse me, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Yea, they shall drink, and they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been. Ooh. How would you like to be as though you had not been? Have you ever thought about being as though you had not been? It's like you've never been born. Well, but upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness. That's what we read in the book of Joel. And the house of Jacob, what? Shall possess their possessions. Larry used to say, as he would do these studies about the Lord's day, that Israel will have their land. Israel will someday possess all of what gave them. And the more I read these prophecies, the more I see that that is going to come to pass. That Israel will get that which the Lord has promised. So we'll stop there today. Hopefully you get a little bit out of this. And like I say, I could give a big long exegesis on this, but that's not the purpose of this study. What I really wanted to do was let the Scripture speak. I think the Scripture speaks very clearly for itself in these. As long as you understand who's being spoken to here, I think the prophecies are very clear and not that difficult to understand.